The Bible says in Psalm 3, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. And many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. If I could provide a brief summary of this psalm in one short statement, it would be trusting in God during times of trouble. Trusting in God during times of trouble. And dividing the psalm into two parts, I want us to notice first in verses 1 and 2, David's trouble. And looking to the title of the psalm, we find that David's trouble was no small trouble at the time that he penned this psalm, for the title says, just above the first verse, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. If you are familiar with the story of David's life, you know that there was a time when David's third son, Absalom, organized a revolt against the king who happened to be his father, David, which caused David then to flee from the city of Jerusalem. And this is the context of David's heartfelt cry unto the Lord. David's son, Absalom, is trying to kill him and take his throne. And not only are his enemies vast in number, as many have chosen to unite with Absalom, but there are several peers close to David suggesting that David needs to accept his doom because they think he has been abandoned by God. So I want you to see the darkness and the dreariness of this psalm. This is the context. This is the background. As I read verses 1 and 2 again, notice the references to amplified trouble which surrounds David on every side. Notice the mentioning of the increased power and influence that is arising from his enemies. David says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Now let me ask you a question. Knowing the reality of David's circumstances, do you suppose that David was tempted as a man to be anxious? Do you suppose that David's heart was disturbed by fearful thoughts? I mean, his own son, his own flesh and blood was seeking to kill him. Do you suppose his faith in God was being challenged? Here he was, the king, and now he is running for his life into the wilderness to find safety. And the answer to these questions is, of course. And this is why David is crying out to the Lord. David knows that without God's help and intervention, that his faith is going to falter and his sanity is going to fail. David knows that unless the Lord strengthens, encourages, guides, protects, and provides for his needs, that he may lose his life, or far greater, he may lose his testimony in God. You see, David is crying out to the Lord because he knows the weakness of his own heart. David is crying out to the Lord because he knows he is not sufficient to handle these circumstances in his own strength or wisdom. If David was strong in and of himself, he wouldn't turn to the Lord. If David was strong in and of himself, he would turn to himself and say, David, you got this. You are a powerful and successful king. You are God's chosen man. You've been successful in the past, and you will be successful again. If David was trusting in himself, he would have looked himself in the mirror and say, David, don't you remember? It was you that took down the lion. It was you that took down the bear. It was you who took down that Philistine giant named Goliath. And if you did that in the past, David, you have the ability to conquer this dragon that has ascended from your own family. We don't read that this is David's response. Looking to the psalm, there is not a hint of self-focus, self-confidence, or self-reliance mentioned throughout the whole of the psalm. In fact, what we read from beginning to end is nothing but a humble acknowledgement that David is weak, and David's God is strong, and that without God, he can do nothing. So the first thing I would have you notice in this psalm is the truth that during David's time of trouble, David turns to the Lord. He doesn't turn to men. He doesn't turn inward toward himself. He turns to the Lord. When tempted to panic, he prays. He takes his cares and submits them to prayer, as we say. And this is a great lesson for us to remember. When trouble comes our way, we must do the same. During times in which we look out and see troubling circumstances, we need to then look up toward God. We need to cast our care upon God, knowing it is God who cares for us. So looking to verses 1 and 2, we have the first segment of this psalm, which is our first point, which is David's trouble. And turning our attention now to verses 3 through 8, I want you to notice David's trust, David's trust. So we have David's trouble and David's trust. And would you notice the first four words David declares in verse 3? Having stated his trouble, having proclaimed the problem that's before him, David says, verse 3, but thou, O Lord. And here we find the turning of David's perspective. Here is the hinge on which David's faith swings. David says, I see the multitudes gathering strongly against me. I see what my son is doing. I hear of his desire. But now I'm choosing to focus my attention not on what I see with my physical eye, but what I see with my spiritual eye. And the first four words of verse 3 are a contrast, you see? So he's looking to his situation. Now he's looking to the Lord. But thou, O Lord, here is what man is doing on earth. But thou, O Lord, here is what I'm facing, but thou, O Lord, here is what my present reality is, but thou, O Lord. And would you notice that following these four words, David then begins to remind himself of who God is. Look at it. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. And notice the personal words here. My glory and the lifter up of mine head. And then following this declaration of who God is a declaration of what the Lord has done for him. Verse 4, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Verse 5, I laid me down and slept. I awake, for the Lord sustained me. And then notice verse 6, David goes on by saying, because God has protected me in the past, because God has proven himself good in answering my prayers, because God has graciously sustained me and given me rest in the midst of my troubling circumstances, David says, notice, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. That's quite a statement. 10,000s of people. Sometimes we melt when one person's against us. Sometimes our faith falters when several people are against us. David says, I will not be afraid of 10,000s. Imagine David in the midst of a great coliseum, a football stadium filled with thousands, and imagine them being against him, wanting to kill him. David looks at the multitudes in the stadium and says, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who seek to hunt me as a deer. Here is David's faith in action. Would you notice that his faith is a personal choice? David says, I will not. In so many words, David says, based on what I know about God, I'm choosing not to be afraid of thousands of people who have set themselves against me. David says, on a human level, I should be afraid, but as a Christian, knowing that God is in control, I'm not to live on a human level, I am to live on a heavenly level. Therefore, that's how I'm going to respond to my present situation. Let me pause here for a moment and emphasize two very important points. The first point is that faith is a personal choice that each and every one of us must make at all times in life. Did you get that? Let me say it again. Faith is a personal choice that each and every one of us must make at all times in life, in every moment, in every day. We can either choose to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, Proverbs 3:5, or lean on our own understanding. In every moment, in every day, we have a choice to lean on the strength of God or trust in the arm of the flesh. In every circumstance we meet with in life, we must make a decision to try to figure things out on our own, or beseech the divine help of God. What is faith? Hebrews chapter 11. It is a choice to believe that God is God. That's the essence of faith. It is the choice to believe that God is God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So there's a practical application for us. In every moment of every day, we have a choice. In the, quote, big things, and in the, quote, little things. Are we going to trust in the Lord or not? Are we going to believe that God is in this circumstance or not? Are we going to take Romans 8:28 in hand or cast it aside? And the second point I want to screw on your mind is the vital truth that faith must be constantly kindled. Faith must be constantly kindled. And the way that it is kindled is by purposefully looking away from self and gazing unto God. And the way faith is ignited is by deliberately reminding ourselves of who God is and what God has graciously done for us in life thus far. Do you see that here in verses 3 through 5? David sees his trouble, but he then sees God above and within his trouble, and then decides to rest in God who has allowed the trouble to occur. So he is looking at his trouble with new eyes, with the eyes of faith, with God in the midst of it. He's looking at his trouble from a heavenly perspective. And the way he has done this is by preaching to himself truths about the character of God, as well as recalling specific ways that God has been good to him in the past. Listen, this is the only way that you and I will be able to endure the dark storms of life. This is the only way that will prevent us from being swallowed up by bitter circumstances. The only way we will be able to persevere through the troubles of life is by constantly reminding ourselves of who God is and what God has done for us through His mercy and grace. And let me add here, this is why you need to prioritize reading your Bible each and every day. This is why you need to strive to have a time where you get alone with God and read something of who He is and what He has done for you. This is so vital. This is Christianity 101. This is the most important aspect of your growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ and your advancing in the faith. And I'm persuaded that the most important means of spiritual growth and blessing, of being still and knowing that God, is sadly the most neglected means. It's so simple, yet so neglected. It's so needful, and yet pushed aside as if it doesn't mean anything. I'm afraid far too many Christians are overcome by anxiety, overcome by fear and doubt and sinful thoughts and actions because they do not have a daily routine of sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about listening to podcasts. I'm not talking about listening to audio sermons. I'm not talking about reading a little devotional written by men. I'm talking about opening up God's Word and letting the Almighty speak to you through the author, the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about meditating, chewing on the person and work of Jesus Christ and the promises of God. So many believers are spiritually sick, they're spiritually weak, and they become so stressed over little things because they neglect the one source that will give them spiritual strength, and that source is the Bible. Listen, church, if you want to be strong in the Lord, if you want to be steadfast and unmovable in the midst of the storms, if you want to maintain a godly testimony when everything seems to be going against you, then you must, listen, you must endeavor to keep your mind stayed on God. No amens tonight. It's a little quiet. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed where? On their problems? Is that what it says? Whose mind is stayed on Him, on God. So listen, you must learn to meditate on God's Word day and night. Remember Psalm 1? The blessed man, not the stressed man, the blessed man is the one who is strong and fruitful, who delights and meditates in the law of the Lord when? Once every once in a while? Once every Sunday when the pastor preaches? No. Day and night. Day and night. So this leads me then to ask, is it your practice to read God's Word? When do you read God's Word? Think about it. Answer it in your own mind. Where do you read God's Word? Don't fool yourself. Well, I read it. Yeah, I know. Where? Tell me the place you sit down and read it. Tell me the place you turn off your dumb phone, your smartphone, and you're being still and knowing that God is God. How do you read it? In what way? Are you going through the Gospels? Are you starting at the New Testament? Did you start at Genesis? What's your method? What's your program? You should have a program. Can you tell me of a particular text that God has spoken to your heart about this last week? Can you articulate a time in the last month where you were tempted to grow weary in well-doing and you turned to the Lord in His Word and He strengthened your faith through the promises of God? This is what it means to walk with the Lord. This is what it means to abide in Christ. Here it is. God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path in the midst of darkness. This is not a theory, this is truth. And for those of you who know Christ, who have experienced this, you know it. But don't forget it. Just because God has been gracious in the past does not mean that you can neglect Him in the present. So what I am asking is, do you want faith like David? Do you? I mean, this is commendable faith here. He will not be afraid of 10,000s that surround him. His life is on the line. Do you want faith like that? Well, you can have it. And the way to obtain it is through prayer and meditation upon God through His Word. David is not some super Christian with superpowers. He is a man of like passions as we are. He is a man who battled the flesh and the world and the evil one just as we do. But he made a choice to trust in the Lord. And that faith grew because he preached to his heart truths about who God was and what God has done for him in his mercy and grace. Finally, I want to point out David's confidence in verses 7 and 8. David's confidence. Having viewed David's horizontal circumstances in verses 1 and 2, David's vertical commemoration in verses 3 through 6, I want you to notice David's fixed confidence in verses 7 and 8. David says, verse 7, "Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone, thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord, thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah." What confidence David has. Here in verses 7 and 8, he speaks as if he's living on cloud 9. He speaks as if God has already taken care of the situation. Do you see that? He responds as if God has already defeated his enemies and has secured his rescued from his enemies, and rightly so. For this is the confidence that true faith brings. It brings a security that no man can shake. True faith in God brings a firm assurance that all will be well. That God will accomplish His purposes, that God will vindicate His people, and God, through all circumstances, will glorify His name. I don't know about you, but this is the kind of faith that I want. I want a faith like Psalm 2 that laughs at the raging of the heathen, knowing that God is going to deal with the heathen in His time and in His way. I want a faith that lives in the light of God's sovereign rule over all. I want a faith that rejoices in the salvation of the Lord during times of distress. I want a faith that rests in the fact that every joy and every trial falls from above and has a specific purpose in making me more like Christ. And speaking of Christ, let me conclude by saying that what we read in Psalm 3 comprises a foreshadow of the coming of Christ. Remember as you read the Word that this Word is about the Word, capital W, the Word that became flesh. It's about Christ. The Bible is a Christocentric book. So in every chapter of the Scripture, look for Christ. He's our manna. He's our water. He is the one that we feast upon. This book is all about Him. So look at the foreshadowing of Christ here in Psalm 3. And reading the testimony of Christ in the Gospels, we find that many people turned against Christ and questioned if God was with him. They questioned if he was God when he proclaimed that he was God. We find in the life of Christ that when evil men arose against him, Christ committed himself to prayer, knowing that his Father would keep him and deliver him. In answering his prayers, we find that God the Father gave Christ victory by raising him from the dead and thus triumphing over his enemies and giving us salvation. You see, salvation belongs to Christ. The blessings of God fall upon God's people in Christ. While men meant the crucifixion for evil, God ordained it for good. And that being so, I have to ask you again, those who are here this evening, do you know this salvation? Do you know Christ? Have you tasted of Christ's saving grace? Are you resting by faith in Christ who went ahead of you through distress so that you might find help in the time of your distress? Have you come to see that Jesus has suffered for you so that you might be saved? And dear Christian, do you realize that Jesus is not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin, which means that we can come boldly unto the throne of grace so that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. And finally, finally, let me ask you tonight, are you troubled now? Is your heart troubled? Is your soul troubled? Is your mind troubled? It may not be men wanting to kill you, but it may be that you're haunted by doubts. It may be that you're haunted by fear, fear of tomorrow, fear of the unknown. It may be that you're haunted by your failings or attacks by the evil one. If that's so, if you are troubled, I would encourage you to take this psalm to heart and remind yourself of the goodness of God and God's ability to help you. Remind yourself that salvation is of and through Christ. Remind yourself that God is interested in individuals. Out of all who were alive during David's day, God took notice of him and his situation. And this is the way the good shepherd works. When he sees one of his sheep in trouble, he goes out of his way to help them and encourage them and to lead them along. What a great God. What a wonderful Savior, trusting in the Lord during times of trouble. And maybe you're not going through a time of trouble now. Just file it back in the back of your mind so you can recall it when trouble comes.